today on Anchored in the Word.
That's where it begins, that surrendered place, and then the call is revealed step by step. There's waiting involved. And then the faithfulness even that comes into our lives is given, the grace is given by Him, step by step. But this group of people are being acknowledged because they lived out their life. Tough as it was, they lived the call. It was possible to live, and they're standing with Jesus there. And that's important for us to see. The payoff.
I'm anchored deep in your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. In today's message, Pastor Bill teaches about how we should conduct ourselves while we are waiting for the Lord. Though we are not experiencing tribulation, we are toiling in these present times for God. Yet we're promised that if we follow earnestly after Him, our efforts will be rewarded when we see Him face to face. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's study in the book of Revelation.
We are currently in the book of Revelation. So if you have your Bibles, would you open to Revelation chapter 14 this morning? As we continue our trek through the Bible, getting towards the end of the New Testament, Revelation 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 13 this morning, starting in verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women. They are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, 'Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them.'" Now, if you were here last week, we talked about beauty or the beast. Chapter 13, it's laid out. It's talking about the beast or the Antichrist. This man that's going to come onto the scene in the future. At the end, we're in the second half of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, but this person is going to be raised up. This Antichrist, Antichrist, he's going to oppose Christ. People are going to accept, take him instead of Christ. That's what that idea means. And he's called the beast there in chapter 13. The false prophet is also the second beast in chapter 13. We looked at those last week. And he talked about, and you've all heard this maybe even before you came to Christ, this idea of taking the mark of the beast, the number 666, right? That was in the last chapter. That was in chapter 13. And these group of people had taken this mark because the way that things were in the world at that time, it's yet future, but it was made such that you couldn't buy or sell without the mark. You couldn't buy or sell without the mark. And basically what it came down to is either die or take the mark. Die or take the mark. That's what it really basically came down to. And taking the mark was more than just, you know, because some people worry about, oh, is that the mark of the beast? I don't want to take that credit card or this or that. You will know what you're doing to a degree. You will understand that you are submitting your life. Now, the beast is going to take care of you. That's the promise. The beast is going to take care of you, and you're bowing down to the beast. You're bowing down to his image. There's going to be an image at that time, and you're going to know it's worship. And so it's more, it's a giving over of yourself. It's really the perverted side of what God says, what God wants. Isn't that what the Lord wants? He wants you to give yourself to him. He wants you to trust him fully, and he wants you to surrender your life so that he can take care of you, he can show you the way. And that's real. That's God's plan for man. When man sinned, he was separated from God. He began to do things his own way. You know, they were told what they were supposed to do in the garden. Everything was great in the garden. Just keep doing what God says and you'll be fine. And of course, they said, no, we'll do it the other way. We'll do what seems right to us. And they did, and they were separated from God. They began to do things their own way. And of course, sin came into the world. And because sin, death, the problems began, you could say, back then. But there's always a problem when we do things our own way. And so God's calling us to himself, and the enemy is calling us to himself. There's only two sides. There's only two masters you could really serve in the universe. It's the Lord or Satan. There's only two. And I know people don't acknowledge that by and large, but that's what he wants them to believe, that there is no Satan or whatever the case is. There is no hell or there is no God, whatever. But these things are true. And this morning, what we'll look at in chapter 14 is the true mark that God has for people, these people that are marked for God. And we see God's protection on them. We see God being faithful to the end to them to get them to. God is the only one really in the universe that truly does what he says he's going to do. He follows through with what he says he's going to do. Now, we're his people, and we should desire to be like that. But the truth of the matter is, we don't always do that. But God, in fact, will do that. And we'll see his faithfulness found here in chapter 14. The payoff, really. The end of all things. In other words, as Christians, we're living our life. Yes, we're living and we are here in the here and now. But this isn't our existence. This is just a vapor part of it. God says that this life, the years that we live in this flesh, is like a vapor. You know, you've seen a hot cup of coffee or a hot soup, and I look at the vapors now. I never used to, but I every time I see something hot now, I look at that vapor. You see it. Look at it. It just lasts. It appears and it's gone. It appears and it's gone. It swirls and it's gone. It's really quickly and then it's gone. The idea is life comes and it goes. And this life, as we know it in the flesh, it's really, really short. But eternity never ends. So if you think about that logically, okay, this life is really short and eternity never ends. Now, what should I really be about in this life preparing for? You know, this life, and so many people are caught up in just their whole existence is about what's going on in the here and now and only that. And the reality is that as we prepare for what's to come, as we walk with the Lord, he says, have a broader view of things, you know, look to the long distance, you know, and look beyond. There's life to come after this. There is a hereafter. There is a place that every person will end up someday. Every person that's ever been alive will end up that way. The Bible says this, that it's appointed once for a man to die and then the judgment. There's something beyond death. There's something beyond that. And this morning, as we look at chapter 14, we're going to see beyond that, and we're going to see God's faithfulness and to his people that walk with him. And we're going to see now also, as we're waiting to get there, how do we conduct ourselves while we're waiting? You know, while we're waiting to get to that place, because we're not there yet. Waiting. It's hard for us to do. Being patient and persevering. Here we look at, let's look at verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. This is the mark you want to have. This is the mark of God on a person's life. This is the mark. And these 144,000 were a specific group of people. They were Jewish, we know from chapter 7. 12,000, they were men, 12,000 from each tribe, from 12 tribes. 12 times 12 is 144,000. They were called by God, specific call on their lives. And so what we see in verses 1 through 5 are, or the end of, you could say, God's payoff for those people, for their faithfulness of following God. This is what we see. We see them at the end. This is the end of the tribulation period. They've gone through it. Been really hard, and they've been witnessing for Christ. And it says they're standing with Jesus on Mount Zion. Now, we don't know. John, he's looking. He's up in heaven. He's down on the earth. He's looking up there. I mean, we can't figure everything out about where and when necessarily. I say that to say some people say, well, he's standing on and right there on the terra firma there in Jerusalem. That's Mount Zion, and it is Mount Zion. But there's also heaven is called that too. So we really don't know where he was or what he was viewing. But are the 144,000? You know, because we're not at the end of the tribulation yet. The bowl judgments haven't been poured out yet. But we got these 144,000 that are standing with Jesus. And they're being acknowledged in heaven. And that's what I want us to focus on, is that they were faithful to what God called them to do, their specific call. And they had a specific call. I should say they will have, because this is yet future we're talking about yet. But they will have a specific call in their lives. And here is what we see is when the payoff is, God's been faithful. He sealed them, and they were protected through the tribulation period. And they had the mark on them or the seal on them that you want to have. The Bible says this, when you come to Christ, that you have a seal. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, each one of us. So he sees that first. He gets a vision now of the 144,000 standing with Jesus. Verse 2 says, and I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder, probably the voice of the Lord. Now, it's not saying what he said, but it's the voice. We know it's important enough for God to speak. And then it says, and then I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps, guitar players in heaven. That's, by the way, we get this idea of harps, you know, people stringing harp. You know, this isn't something that somebody made up. It came out of the Bible. There's harps in heaven. And a harp is a guitar. It's just a guitar that's, you know, there's different kinds of harps, I guess, but that's what a guitar is. It's a different kind of a harp. The harpists are playing their harps in heaven. It says, and then they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures. Now, remember, if you've been with us long enough, you know that this is the picture of the throne. Now, we've seen it before already. There's singing going around the throne. We know that. And there's four living creatures. We've seen these creatures in the previous 13 chapters in the Bible. In the Revelation, we've seen them. And then there's elders mentioned here in this verse, the 24 elders around the throne. So we know John's talking about around the throne. Interesting about the song that you're singing. It says, no one could learn that song. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. So this is what I want us to see here, is that they have been singled out, this 144,000, or I guess they've been 144,000 out, right? But they've been noticed to sing this song that only they can learn. And I believe that's just God's way of saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. There's something happening in heaven. There's something happening in heaven that these guys are being acknowledged for their faithfulness and for the call that they had on their lives. And then it goes on to say, their specific call. Now remember, this is a specific call, not everybody's call. It says, these were the ones who were not defiled with women, for they were virgins. These were the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed among many men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. They were virgins. They were virgins. They weren't married. So that doesn't mean that everybody obviously doesn't have that call in life to be, you know, celibate, you know, and to be single. But know this, if you're not, then you're called to be married. That's the reality of it. You're called to be married then if you're not that, you know. But not to be defiled with women, that's what's mentioned back in chapter 7. That's where we first learn of these guys. And that, I know it's an interesting way of putting it, but that word defiled, I want you just to know something. It goes beyond just taking what God has made. You know, the defiling is, it's talking about sexual things, but it's talking about outside of the context of marriage too. There's a defiling that takes place in regards to that. But this isn't a slam on women, and it's certainly not a slam on marriage in any way, but it was a call that these 144,000 had the call of singleness to be the, his 144,000 that went through the tribulation period. And what we know about them is that they did what God told them to do. They lived the life that God told them to live. They lived out their call. They were faithful to do that. Verse 5 says, "And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God." Now know this, they're before the throne of God only because the blood of the Lamb. They aren't a special group of people that didn't have to have the blood covering of Christ. It's clear that the only way that anyone can be without fault before the throne is because they believe in Jesus. And that's where it all starts. If you aren't exercising your belief in Jesus, you're not going to live out the call that God has for you. That's where it begins. That surrendered place, and then the call is revealed step by step. There's waiting involved. And then the faithfulness even that comes into our lives is given. The grace is given by Him step by step. But this group of people are being acknowledged because they lived out their life. Tough as it was, they lived the call. It was possible to live, and they're standing with Jesus there. And that's important for us to see. The payoff. Being with Him face to face. Now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Is that what you're looking forward to? You know, well done, good and faithful servant. I know it feels good when somebody acknowledges something that you've done on earth. Not that you do it for that reason, okay? And we should be encouraging one another in certain times, right? You know, to encourage one another. But we're talking about now the King of Kings. We're talking about the one, you know, some people think, oh, they want to please their fathers, and that's not a bad thing to do, but I'm talking about pleasing your heavenly Father. And this, we're going to be standing there, and this is going to be just unbelievable. I'm here to tell you that the payoff for just being faithful and following Jesus in your life, it's going to be better than you could have ever imagined. Better than you could have ever imagined. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me that. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. So it's going to be more than I can ever imagine. Now, the other side of the coin is, those that don't follow, there's a payoff for them too. So we got a double motivation for us this morning. One is the crowns that Christ, just to please Him, just to be able to get that crown so we could throw it at His feet, you know, just being faithful, living the life. Now, the other side of the coin is the payoff for the people that don't follow Jesus. He gives us some insight into that as we look at, let's pick it up in verse 6. "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth." This is during the tribulation period. "To those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." By the way, in the previous chapter, that same terminology is used. It says every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. But what they were doing was they were following the beast. They were worshiping the beast. And you might think, well, why doesn't God just give up on them? Okay, you want the beast? You got him. Follow him then. God says, no, I'm not giving up. There's an angel going around telling them, basically flying around, telling them that these things are true. And I want you to know something. I take this as the call that we have on our lives is to preach the everlasting gospel. Now, what is the gospel? The gospel is good news, right? You understand that? It's good news. If you didn't know that, it's, by the way, if you're a Christian, you responded to the good news. I mean, there's a lot of bad news going on in the world. This is good news. Now, the good news is this. I'm going to give you four scriptures from the book of Romans. You can jot these down because it'll lead someone. I'm going to tell you the gospel, right? I'm going to tell you the good news right now, okay? It starts with bad news. And here's the four scriptures, if you're taking note, Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, Romans 10:13, and Romans 10:9. Romans 3:23, 6:23. Those two are easy, right? It's 3:23, 6:23. 10:13 and 10:9. It'd be nice if they were in the order, but there's one out of order. 10:13, then 10:9. Those four scriptures. And this is the gospel. You can just let someone read. Turn to, you know, if you know somebody that's not saved and the door gets opened, let them read. Take out your Bible. Let them read Romans 3:23. Ask them to read it out loud from the Bible. And ask them, what do you think that means? By the way, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What do you think that means? That means that we're all sinners. Now, you won't get many people that say, oh, yeah, I don't sin. Some do that. Some, you know, they're really deluded. They don't realize that they're sinners. Here's what you do with that. Take them to the Ten Commandments. Have you ever stolen anything in your life? Anything at all. I mean, even something like a paperclip. Anything at all you've stolen in your life. Well, yeah. Okay. What does that make you? A thief. Okay, so you've stolen. So you've broken one of the Ten Commandments. And then have you ever lied? You know, so you take them to the Ten Commandments and let them know what sin looks like. So then we see that we're all sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it starts with bad news, and then 6:23 says, and the wages of sin is death. That's bad news. The wages of sin is death. Because you're a sinner, you're going to be separated from God for all eternity. But the second part of 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. It's a gift. Now, again, get them to read it, and then when they're finished, instead of you just telling them like I'm doing to you, what does that mean? What do you think that means? Let the Holy Spirit of God take the Word of God and let him illuminate their hearts. You'd be amazed at the power of God exercised that way. And then Romans 10:9 says, those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. What do you think that means? You know, ask them, what do you think that means? Let them read it. And if they get wrong, by the way, it says something really strange, say, read it again. And I say that to say, let the Holy Spirit penetrate their hearts. And if they say it really something strange, it doesn't mean anything what it says, ask them to read it again until they get it right. That is trusting the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and not in your own words, okay? And then it says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you'll be amazed, by the way. The guy that I first heard this from, he goes, you know, sometimes I get to the second scripture, 6:23, where the wages of sin is death, and I'll say, what do you think that means? It means I got to receive Jesus Christ right now. No, I got two more verses to go yet. That's what he said. You'll be amazed at what the Word of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit will do. And you don't have to get to the other two. You can say, I can pray with you right now to receive Jesus, you know?
There's much more Pastor Bill would like to share with you, but we've run out of time for today. This has been another edition of Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. Pastor Bill will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation next time. All of Pastor Bill's messages through the Bible are available to listen to at our website, AnchoredInTheWord.com. That's AnchoredInTheWord.com. While you're at the website, you can follow us on Facebook, learn more about Anchored in the Word, Calvary Chapel Coastlands, listen to more of Pastor Bill's messages, learn about other ministries as well as upcoming events and our location. That's all available at AnchoredInTheWord.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. From all of the production team here at Anchored in the Word, we want to say thank you for tuning in. We appreciate all of you that have supported this program. If you're a first-time listener or have been listening for a while, we would love to hear from you. Your testimonies have been a great encouragement to us. If you have an encouraging testimony to share, call us at 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. Or send us an email at office@cccoastlands.org. Now please make plans to join us again for the next study through the book of Revelation with Pastor Bill as we stay moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.